This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good morning, Foxes. How the devil are you? I hope you're well. I hope you're good. How's your weekend been so far? Well, you know what day it is. It's Sunday. It's the new winter time. It's 10 a.m. So it's time for the famous Foxes Aftermath show. Your opinion really matters. So get them comments in. You know what? Let's get going. It's kickoff time. Come on, you Foxes.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. Are you ready for the show? Thanks to our sponsors, ADT Taxis, Everard's, Pucka Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Leicester Riders, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Peter's Pizzeria, Hope Against Cancer, and Newbie and Co. Estate Agents. We want your views, we want your comments, so join us live. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Devil, are you good? Are you well? I've got a special guest coming on in a minute, Charlie Carmichael from TalkSport. He's going to give his reviews. Huge Leicester fan. But let's just get things in a bit of perspective so far. 13 out of 14 games, 29 scored, 8 conceded, goal difference of 21 goals, 6 clean sheets, 13 different scorers already. Best ever start to the championship in our history. What more could you ask for? And it's not even November yet. So on that point, I'm going to bring Charlie in, a friend of the show that was in, I think he was on about February time before. Morning, Charlie. How are you?
Morning, mate. Yeah, very well. Thanks. How are you?
Are you good? Are you enjoying this roller? It's not even a roller coaster ride this year, is it? Are you enjoying the ride this year?
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, I think all the fans are a little bit worried getting relegated to the Championship, especially obviously with Rodgers going, but the off-field sort of malaise of how it was going with the ownership and everything. No one really knew how we were going to get on this season, but one thing they've definitely got emphatically right is the appointment of Enzo Maresca, because we're absolutely flying.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think you've sort of just answered that question a little bit. After relegation, did you think we would have this many points at this time, or did you think it's going to be a bit of a slow rebuild?
No, I thought the latter. I thought it was going to be a difficult season. I probably would have taken top six before a ball was kicked. I wasn't really sure where we were going to line up. Obviously, you didn't know who was coming into the club, who was going out of the club. Enzo Maresca obviously coming with a big reputation with Pep's assistant, having just won the treble, but in his only previous sort of managerial role with Parma, didn't work out so well. So really didn't know what to expect. So yeah, to say I'm pleasantly surprised is probably an understatement.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure. All we ever got was, oh, we only have 14 games at Parma. He's only ever been an assistant manager. We don't know what kind of style he's playing, what he can do. And I was a little bit worried. And like yourself, I thought we were going to struggle. And I think a lot of fans that watch here as well also said that before, when I was doing my shows and that before the season started, they thought we might have. I don't say we've been pleasantly surprised. I don't know. I'm not sure what the words. It would just be. It's so surprising how well we're doing, and we're taking it by storm. And I don't think some of the away fans realised that we lost 14 players at the start of the season, and he had to regroup, regroup, refresh, rebuild, whatever you want to put into it. The players he's brought in, one in particular, Harry Winks. He wanted Harry Winks from the very first moment he walked through that door, because he said he was going to be pivotal to how he wants to play. I mean, what more can you... I mean, one of the other... I think it was When You're Smiling podcast called him the owl, and because he looks everywhere. How do you think Winks has been playing so far, and what's impressed you the most?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's clearly way too good to be playing at this level. I mean, he looks... this is a guy who's got, you know, what, 10 England caps. He's been playing Champions League football with Tottenham Hotspur in the past. Obviously, you know, fallen off somewhat, whether it's injuries, form-related, you know, kind of lost his way, went to Sampdoria last season. But, I mean, at this level, he just looks complete cut above everyone else. And, yeah, I mean, even excluding the goal yesterday, you would have said just, like, his passing, the way he keeps things ticking over, you probably couldn't think of a more perfectly fitted player stylistically to what Maresca wants to bring to the team, to just kind of knit the attack and defence together. And, yeah, if he's going to add top corner goals to his locker like that as well, then there's is there anything he can't do?
yeah, he doesn't make so many look. Thing is with him, he doesn't make the long pass, does he? He makes the easy pass, and I think that's what makes his game look so good. He finds the player. I mean, what game was it? Really, 100%. Oh, Norwich, wasn't it? He had 100% pass ratio. Pass. I'm thinking of now. Yeah, that's the one. And he looks. He does the easy things well, doesn't he? He doesn't do the difficult things. And we've been saying on here, we've actually upgraded from Youri Tielemans to Harry Winks. Is that your take on it, or would you prefer to would you have liked seeing Youri in this division, or do you think we have upgraded?
I just think that despite the fact they're kind of both kind of deep line playmakers, I'd say Harry Winks is kind of more suited to that. It's more of a stylistic thing than anything. It's not necessarily saying that Harry Winks could do what Youri Tielemans does, and vice versa. I don't think that Youri Tielemans could do what Harry Winks is doing at the minute. Going back to what you were saying earlier about just playing the short passes and keeping it simple. It's interesting because at the start of the season, that felt like a real point of frustration for quite a lot of fans, like playing it out from the back and being too slow and too methodical. There you go. But it being kind of like a tactical instruction from Maresca to say, no, play it into Harry, let him draw one or two people onto him, play it straight back to Vestergaard or whoever's in defence. And then there's a man free somewhere else and we can start to move. So from the outside looking in, it can seem like a bit laboured or a bit just like, you know, two sort of 5-yard passes. They're kind of needless. We need to look long and stuff like that. But it's kind of waiting and waiting until the play sort of draws in on us from the opposition, and then we can play out, which in some regards has looked fantastic. You know, we've seen examples of that against, you know, QPR yesterday, Sunderland, Southampton, then other games as well, where the opposition is just completely reluctant to press whatsoever. And Yannick Vestergaard's kind of just parked in the centre circle, just getting his deck chair out, looking for options.
But yeah, I was going to say this to you. It's the last couple of games, I think, it's proved away of other teams playing against us. If they give it a good go and come for us, we sort of struggle and get a bit flustered, and it's a bit chaotic. And Maresca has said he doesn't like his football being chaotic. But and I think we sort of changed the plan a little bit yesterday. We did have a plan B yesterday, didn't we? And it seemed to work. But I think that's the way. When the people try and park the bus, we can break them down. But if they're going to give it a good go, I think that's where we might struggle this year.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how he kind of changes things. I think Sunderland was a good example of this, obviously moving JJ from the left centre-back to the right centre-back to handle Jack Clarke, and obviously the threat that he brings being the Championship top goal scorer. So I think stylistically he's got his principles, and it's kind of underlying that that's not going to change. But in terms of the personnel or the different ways in which we do things, if people are going to really step onto us, if Hermansson just wants to hit it long and Vardy's in behind, you know, we're happy to play like that as well. Like, it's not wedded to the idea of consistently playing out from the back and having exactly the same formation and positions all the time. So there will be little tweaks, but the basic premise of like dominating the ball and trying to play through the lines and things like that are stuff that you'll see in every game.
Yeah, the last couple of games you seem to have played more of a longer ball style of football, haven't we? There's been more long balls going through than the short, and they've sort of bypassed the midfield a little bit, but then they've gone back to the style of playing it short, playing it simple, getting the team pressing. And I noticed that a lot more. In the second half, QPR were pressing a lot more, and it gave them space behind to get that ball into Winks, and they were able to do it. But then they were able to do the long ball as well, which is good that whether Maresca's told them this, that they can actually, you don't have to rely just on this one style of play, which the last couple of years has been very blinkered and played that way, haven't we? But now we're seeing to changing the style through the game, which is great.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I think it's a massive headache for the opposition because essentially you either need your attacking defence to really press up and go man for man and really put it on us to try and stop us playing out from the back. Now, if you do that, there's two things that can happen. One is either your defence also has to press up, and if it does, then you're playing a high line, and like you alluded to, Hermansson or whoever it is, Vestergaard can chip balls over the top and Vardy or Mavadidi or whoever's got that space to run into. If the defence then sits deep, the problem that you have is if Leicester beat that initial press, there's then yards of space to play in between the midfield and the defence of the opposition for the likes of Ndidi or Cassidy or KDH to pick up the ball and do some real damage. So the opposition is kind of in this halfway house where it's like, do we push everyone up and then risk being caught in behind by a long ball? Or do we just push up the first kind of two lines, the two banks, and then leave space in between our defence and midfield that could possibly be exploited if they can manage to play around that press?
I'm glad you mentioned there, Wilf or Cassidy there. Ryan's asked you, we are a much better team with Ndidi in. Cassidy doesn't offer much for him. Would you agree that? Because I thought Sunderland, Cassidy, had a great game. But yesterday, it was just an average game yesterday for him. But he still had a good game, but not as good as the Sunderland game. So would you have Wilf or Cassidy? Because it's a new position for Wilf this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if you'd asked me 3 games ago, I would have completely agreed. I would have said Cassidy's not offering much. He's really struggling to get into the team. Ndidi's far superior. I still think Ndidi's the best option there. Don't get me wrong. I think if everyone's fully fit in the squad, Wilfred Ndidi 100% starts in that sort of like number 8, more advanced role. Cassidy is improving, though. I think we've seen in the last few games, okay, QPR wasn't at his best, but I don't think many players, to be honest, yesterday, bar Winks, were at their best. But against Sunderland, I thought he did well. Against Stoke, he played reasonably well as well. So he's slowly kind of growing into the system. It's probably a bit more of a new role for him. He's probably used to playing kind of box-to-box, whereas Maresca's asking him to play a bit higher up and playing with sort of close control in close quarters, where he's probably used to having space to burst into. But I think we saw it even on his debut as well. Like he's got that knack of being able to time his run into the box as sort of like the secondary striker to attack crosses or to get on the end of things. So I think that's a real strong point of his game and maybe something that Ndidi has worked on an awful lot. But I mean, the transformation in Ndidi is ridiculous. I mean, this guy's gone from being one of the best holding midfielders in the Premier League to massively struggling and falling off a cliff with injuries to now being, you know, I think Leicester fans get a bit carried away, but comparing him to Zidane in there. So.
Well, yeah, I think it's just a style of play. We don't need that defensive midfielder like Rodgers needed, two or three sometimes you needed to play. But one of the other things I noticed yesterday was, I'll just show you a quick photo, was just after the goal, you've got Dewsbury Hall pulling Harry Winks back. And I turned around and she said, why is she doing that for? And I said, because he's on a booking. And if he goes in the crowd, he's going to get booked. Now, that is pretty damn good, I think, from Dewsbury Hall. He's got like an old head on young shoulders. He knew what was going to happen and he pulled him away, which I think was great. And I think that's fantastic. He seems to have grown up in this league, Dewsbury Hall has.
Yeah, massively. He's definitely become one of the leaders of the team. You know, you could see him becoming the future kind of club captain with everything that he's doing. Both him and Winks were both on bookings, right, like booking away from suspension before this game, which is obviously a kind of double jeopardy with Leeds being the next game as well. So I did worry when Fatawu went down and there was that scuffle that I was just like, as long as KDH and Winks aren't involved in that whatsoever, I'm happy. If Vardy wants to go in and do his usual thing, no problem. But just
Did you see Vardy? Some photos. He is right in the middle of it and he's up to the QPR players. And I haven't seen passion like that for a long time from him. And even when the goal was scored, you can see from the other angle, there's a picture of him and he's giving it large with the fans as well. And I think Vardy's got the passion as well. It seemed the fight and the passion and the spirit. And I think Roger had got rid of it all. Maresca's brought it in. And he's not firing the goals, but he's bringing something to the team, Vardy, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, you can't underestimate how much of a difference it makes just to have things off the pitch, just like good, harmonious, passionate, everyone pulling in the same direction. We saw how the wheels can fall off under Rodgers last year. Like, the talent was there. There's no disputing that. But the place just absolutely stunk. Like, everyone was, you know, at each other's throats and stuff. There wasn't any, like, coordination or passion or anything like that. So, yeah, Maresca bringing that back off the pitch is almost as important as what he's done on the pitch as well. And bringing in people like Connor Cody, okay, hasn't made a massive impact on the pitch yet, but I'm sure behind the scenes he's having a real big impact on the dressing room and things like that.
Yeah, I agree. Because Connor Cody's been in the changing rooms when he was injured. He went to a few of the away games, didn't he? And I think he was... He's that kind of bloke. He's a Scouser and he likes getting involved in stuff. And he's got, I think he's got a lot of fight in him. Not saying all Liverpoolians have got fight in them, but most of them have. Jono's asked a good question. How can Enzo stop complacency setting in? Because he thinks there were shades of complacency shown yesterday. Would you agree on that? Did you think we were just, did the players look like they were just turning up and expecting to win yesterday?
Yeah, it did kind of feel a little bit like they had half their eye on Leeds. Sort of thinking, okay, this is a team that's lost, you know, five in a row. We've won five in a row. You know, this should be a formality for us. But I think, you know, Maresca's been doing it well already. The heavy rotation that he's doing was sort of criticised or questioned a little bit at the start, but it does certainly keep people on their toes, you know, making sure that, you know, if you have a bad game, you just won't play the next game. You know, we have a big enough squad and enough quality for this level to just be able to rotate. So, you know, let's take Mavadidi, for example. If Mavadidi doesn't turn up and doesn't have a good game, like someone else is going to come in and take that place. It could be Yunus Akgun, it could be Casey McAteer. Like, we're not short of options. The only one that you'd probably struggle with as a light-for-light replacement is Harry Winks. But, I mean, he's showing absolutely zero signs of complacency, so long may that continue.
Well, yeah, it's nice that... And it's like he's giving players a go. Like Choudhury, he had to go out on loan to get games last year. Rodgers seemed to stick with the same 11 no matter what. And there was no confidence given to like the reserves or, well, the second string players. But now he's bringing them in. He's brought Choudhury in. He's played Agun. He's played Cassidy. He brought Vestergaard in when no one thought Vestergaard was ever going to play for the game for the club again. And he seems to be outstanding. Yes, it's the Championship and he's probably found his level in the Championship. But you can only beat what's put in front of you, can't you? And Vestergaard, I'm not going to say he's a world beater, but he looks a lot different to what he was the last 2 years at Leicester.
Yeah, no, 100%. It comes back to what I was saying with with Harry Winks and Youri Tielemans. It's a stylistic thing and like understanding where you fit into a system. Rodgers was never playing a formation or a style that suited what Yannick Vestergaard brought to the table, which makes it even more baffling why he signed him on deadline day. But this whole system is set up to allow us to get the very, very best out of Yannick Vestergaard. He's got two centre-backs at either side of him who can cover him for pace and make recovery runs. He's allowed time on the ball to kind of spray passes and dictate things. He's got Harry Winks to play quick 1-2s off if he wants to make sort of a longer pass he can do. Like, the whole system's kind of built to get the very, very best out of Yannick Vestergaard and really hide his flaws. If you're going to play him in a flat back four, and you're going to ask to play a high line, and, you know, there's a little bit of passing here and there, but there's no one naturally to play it off to, we've seen how much he can struggle in that. Like, so he's just a defender with a very, very distinct skill set. And if you're going to build around that, then fantastic. If you're not, then you've got to question why you would want him as part of the team.
Yeah, yeah. Where's that? Harry Winks is a Rolls Royce. You've got Mavadidi, that's a Lamborghini on the wings. How many more cards are we going to have on the pitch by the end of the season? But yeah, Mavadidi, he's come from, I wouldn't say come from nowhere. He's been around and he looks like he's found a home, doesn't he? He started at Derby, he's been at Charlton, he was at Juve, and he was at somewhere else abroad. I can't remember. Where did we buy him from?
Somewhere in France. I can't remember the exact team.
Somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was. He seems like he's found a home and he wants to play for this club. He's a bit in and out, but he's got the skills, hasn't he, Mavadidi, to do that job on that wing.
Yeah, it's interesting. He seems like the one winger that's sort of almost immune to rotation under Maresca so far. You know, we've seen McAteer come in and out. We've seen Akgun come in and out. We've seen it with Fatawu as well. With Mavadidi, I think there's still more to offer. I think there's still more we can get out of him. You know, at some points in the games, he looks a bit sort of stuck. I think what's interesting about like comparing him to, say, like Fatawu, for example, like he's just so unpredictable. He's like... I mean, Diabate was obviously terrible for us, but he's one of these players that almost reminds me a bit of Diabate in the sense that he's just unpredictable and just run at people. Now, he does it with a lot more success than Diabate ever used to do it. But with Mavadidi, he seems a bit almost like he plays within himself a little bit at the time. And like, there's more to offer. He could maybe trust himself a bit more. You know, we saw that brilliant solo goal that he scored against Southampton right at the end, where he just nicks the ball past Will Smallbone and goes in one-on-one, has the confidence to take the shot after not squaring a one-on-one to Vardy earlier. So, yeah, I think Mavididi's full of talent. I think maybe this just needs to express himself a little bit more and get a bit more out of him.
Yeah. Daniel, David's just asked about the AFCON. We're going to lose about four or five players in January. Have we got to win every single game from now till January to just give us that little bit of leeway for there? Because that's going to be tough to try and cover them four players, isn't it? Four or five, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we should be okay. I think the injuries actually time up quite nicely with Tom Cannon and Dennis Pratt basically coming back into the full fitness and back into the squad in time for Iheanacho and Ndidi to depart. So I think Cannon will naturally take that position in that Iheanacho was doing a kind of rotate with Vardy quite naturally. You've got Dennis Pratt and Cassidy who will probably just sort of rotate next to KDH in place of thing. I think Fatua will be an interesting one to lose, but obviously Casey McAteer is now back from injuries, playing well. Yunus Akgun's going to be more integrated and stuff. So I think we've got enough quality in the squad to sort of navigate that.
I think we have actually. When we get to the AFCON, if we keep going the way we are, we might be promoted by January. I don't know whether that's ever been done, but it seems the way it is. We've got Leeds, huge game on Friday night, next Friday night. I was going to fly back for it, but the flights are too expensive, so it's a bit too much for me. We're 14 points clear of Leeds, and it's not even November yet, Charlie. And if we beat Leeds, that'd be our fifth consecutive win at home. I don't know. Is it done and dusted? Not done and dusted, but how can we keep our feet on the ground if we've got a 17-point lead after next week's game?
Yeah, I think Leeds will be a really interesting game. Obviously, they dismantled Huddersfield the other day. They seem like they're starting to click and into gear now under Daniel Farke. I actually thought, going back to what we were talking about at the start, like the way my expectations pre-season are probably mirrored by what Southampton are doing. Bit up and down, bit erratic, kind of in the playoff positions, doing okay. So the fact that, you know, we've pulled well clear of Leeds and Southampton, because I think one thing that a lot of opposition fans level at is, well, of course you're doing well. You know, look at the quality, look at the parachute payments, look, blah, 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 blah. Not too dissimilar to the position that Leeds and Southampton have found themselves in. And we're obviously done a lot better than them to begin with for the start of the season. But Leeds will be a really interesting game. I think for them, it is almost becoming a must win, which sounds crazy at this stage of the season. But, you know, they are going to be losing too much ground to us if we go and turn them over at the King Power Stadium. But I mean, if we play like we did against QPR, I think we'll struggle. But if we play as well as we know we can do, and we have done at different patches of the season, then we should have enough quality.
Yeah, it's like Aggie's just said, the two massive games, isn't it? Leeds and Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough away, which could be our eighth consecutive win on the bounce. Well, it's not actually eight, it's 10. If we beat Middlesbrough, it'd be 10 consecutive Championship away wins, because we won the last two games in 2013-14. In the Championship winning season. So it'd be 10 consecutive wins in the Championship, eight this season. That's some going, isn't it? That's some start to a season. There's only four of the clubs that have done it in any league whatsoever, have won as many have wiggled from the start of the season. It's going to be tough, isn't it? Like I said, we've got to try and keep our feet on the ground. And is it just a case of taking one game at a time, or are we going to take these two together because it's international week, the week after?
I don't think Maresca will allow that. I think just the way he manages is just game by game, just making sure that everyone's bang up for it. If people aren't training well in training today, tomorrow and stuff, they're not going to get picked for the Leeds game. Like, he is just that kind of, like, I don't want to say authoritarian, but he's very, you know, strict with what he does, and he makes sure that everyone's on point, everyone's pulling in the right direction. You know, we've seen it even with Wanya Marcel, for example, obviously scores that goal against Cardiff, and then he's just kind of bombed out the team. Now, we don't know what the background story to that is. We know he's got his contract's coming to an end, and whether his agent saw that performance and thought, oh, all right, well, we'll push for a bit more money. And he's thought, you don't make the rules, I make the rules, you're not playing anymore, you know, sort of give him a bit of a humbling in that. I don't know whether that's what's happened or not, but it's clear to see that, you know, he's not going to allow people to get their feet off the ground. He's going to make sure that everyone's fully focused on every game, one at a time.
So what kind of would you envisage any changes for the Leeds game? Ricky P surely come back in for Chowdhury, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think Ricardo Pereira will come back in and play. I'd imagine that Wout Faes will come back in for Connor Cody as well at the back. We'll probably go to a similar team that we saw against Sunderland. If Ndidi's fit, I'd imagine Ndidi will play over Cassidy. Be interesting to see with McAteer obviously coming off the bench, and he's now sort of back in contention as well. I'd be surprised, given the way that Fatawa and Mavididi are playing, he'll probably have to settle for a place on the bench again. Vardy and Iheanacho is always an interesting one. I think maybe Vardy might be slightly better suited to this one. I think,
when Maraska tosses a coin before the match, edges Nacho, tails is Vardy.
I think it depends who we're playing. Like, obviously, last two games, like you said, against Sunderland and QPR, they've had a bit of a go at us and come on to us. And I think when teams do that and they leave a bit more space, Vardy hasn't really, you know, exploited it, to be fair to him. He didn't really make the most of it against QPR, but that sort of suits Jamie Vardy better. Whereas when we're playing a team like Stoke or Preston, who just completely parked the bus against us, Iheanacho, when he can kind of drop into those spaces, link play and help kind of break and unpick a defence, I think he's got a bit more to offer on the ball to feet rather than Vardy obviously running in behind. So it really is more opposition dependent, I think.
Yeah, I was quite happy. I'm a bit old school, Charlie. So when he brought Nacho and Vardy were on, I thought, oh, we're going for two up top. I thought, oh, that's great. I love a bit of two up top. But, and then he took Vardy off about 5 minutes later. I think McAteer came on for Vardy, did he? I think it was. Yeah, I think it was McAteer for Vardy. I do like that combination. And it's like a check. So I was a bit disappointed, but it's not his style of play to play that way, is it? Two up top, unfortunately.
No, I mean, I thought when we, before Maresca got appointed, I was thinking, well, one of the best things we could probably do this season in the Championship, because we can afford to go two up top because of the quality we have, we'd be playing Iheanacho and Daka together. Because the two of them have never really looked convincing at Premier League level when playing as a lone striker. They've always struggled, but they've got skill sets that perfectly complement one another. You've got Iheanacho, who likes to drop deep and link play and can kind of make late runs into the box, and he's got that technical ability. And then you've got the Daka, who's, you know, not on the same level as Jamie Vardy, but someone who's got the raw kind of pace and attributes to run in behind. So you would have thought the two of them playing in tandem with one another would work really well. But Maresca, again, is quite wedded to this like one up top approach, and whether it's, you know, Daka, for whatever reason, just hasn't been given that opportunity to show what he can do this season. So I don't think he'll be much missed in when going to the AFCON in January. And it might well be the last we see of him. He might get a January move.
You probably will. Charlie, it's been great having you on. I mean, last time you came on, it was just as we were talking about whether we're going down or not. And you said, no, I don't think we're going to go down. So come on, are we going to win the league? Are we going to get promoted?
Yeah, I'd be surprised from here where we're sitting at the minute if we don't go up automatically. I mean, massive credit to Ipswich, by the way. Like, the way that they're playing, the fact that we've got a record points tally for this stage of a Championship season, and if Ipswich win their game in hand, they're only 2 points away from that. That is an absolutely phenomenal job that they're doing with the squad and the resources they have available. But you would expect that we can kind of last the test over the course of the season. Whether Ipswich can do the same over 40-odd games remains to be seen. But yeah, expect Leeds and Southampton to get better. But hopefully we've got enough of a buffer now.
I mean, if you're an Ipswich fan, you'd be going, oh, we've got the record points for the season. Oh, no, we haven't. Leicester have got more than us. You'd be really cheesed off, wouldn't you? Because you broke the record as well, but Leicester have broke it even more, which I don't know. But it, like you say, Ipswich, I'm not sure Ipswich will stay there all the time. I don't think they've got the depth in squad like we have to go on for the full 46 games for the whole season. They've got to have a bit of a breaking point sooner or later, I think.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, they're playing George Hurst up front, who would theoretically, if he had stayed at Leicester, what have been our fifth choice striker behind Cannon. Yeah. Dakin. We bought him for £1.5 million. And all right, he's not tearing up any trees in terms of the goals he's scoring in the Championship, but he's pretty integral to the way they play.
And you I think he actually scored yesterday, I think.
Yeah, he's got a few goals, got some assists and stuff. So you think, like, with the that's the standard of their team, though, which is massive credit to McKenna, the manager, in terms of what he's getting out of them.
Yeah, he is. Come on then, last question. I know it's still a week away, but score prediction for next week. You've got, surely it's got to be a home win, hasn't it, for us next week?
I think it'll be a tight one, but I'll go for 2-1 Leicester.
There we go. Charlie's going for 2-1 Leicester. Charlie, enjoy your new job from tomorrow. Hope it goes well for you. And been much appreciated seeing you on here, pal, again. And hopefully we'll see you later on in the season.
Yeah, nice one. Cheers for having me on.
Cheers, Charlie. Thanks a lot, mate. Be good. See you later, pal. There we go. We'll get a few of the... there's Charlie's views on TalkSport from TalkSport. Starts his new job tomorrow. Actually, much appreciated for him waking up nice and early to get us on. Let's bring Jono in, that's been waiting patiently in the background. Jono, how are you? Lox is there somewhere, but I think he's just having a crafty fag or a gin in this time of the morning. We'll wait for Lox to come on as well in a minute when he pulls his finger out. Jono, we keep breaking records, don't we, pal?
Yeah, we can't stop.
We can't stop breaking. Oh, here's Lox as well. Let's get Lox in. A few minutes with Lox in, Jono.
you know, before we start the season, we're all, after the rubbish season we had last season, we're all a bit optimistic about how well we'll bounce back, you know, all the staff members, whole team swap, new manager, you know, everyone was a bit like, you know, we're not going to, I don't know how we're going to react. Lox was the only one who was like, we're going to smash this, we're going to get all the points, we're going to smash this. And we're like, Lox,
he's, like, he's not far wrong, are you, Lox? You're no, like, 3 points off.
Well, like, Lox, like, I know we got relegated, but we're going to, I think we'll, like, kind of struggle to get into it, but we've been absolutely flying. Like, no one can say we've played excellent the whole season. We haven't. We've played in pretty much average the whole season, but we're still winning it most of our games.
That's the thing.
So if we find our form like Leeds have, we've got no problem.
Yeah. Lox, you're about breaking records. We're now 20 unbeaten away games in the Championship. 20 games away from home. And beat. I know it stretches over 10 years, but it's still a hell of a record to have, isn't it?
Yeah, mate. We're just too good for this. Every time I say this, people say, well, we were relegated. Yeah, I get that. I understand it. But we are too good for this league. I think every player we've got in our starting 11 could play for at least a lower, you know, Premier League team. In my opinion, anyway. And, you know, there is obviously the case. Would this team now stay up in the Premier League? I don't know. It's hard to say. But one thing is for sure, I think it's quite obvious that we are too good for this league. And I think we'll be promoted automatically. I think we'll be promoted on mathematically promoted by the start of March, I think.
See, I was speaking to a Blackburn fan this morning while I was walking the dog. And he didn't realise that we'd got rid of nearly 14 players.
Yep.
He thought he said, you're going to win the league. And I said, we got rid of 14 players and we've replaced them with Championship quality players. He didn't realise that at all.
I mean, you just have to look on paper at like some of the players that are on our bench, you know, at times as well. And obviously I know Dakar's had a really, really poor, well, you know, he had a decent start, obviously with that hat trick in Europe for us, but he's not been great. But in the Championship, mate, I'm sure Dakar would score quite a few goals if he started every game in the Championship. Obviously, he just doesn't get the chance.
Give him a few games and, get him into the swing of things. Yeah, I think Dakar would score. But
yeah,
I think it's just the same like Vestergaard, really. It's just going to be, he's got that, what do you call it on his back? I can't remember what you call it now. He's like the scapegoat.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be a scapegoat. So it was Vestergaard, and now Vestergaard seems to have got rid of that, and it seems to be he's in the team and he's a decent player. I think Dakar would score goals, but I can't see him getting a chance, to be honest, especially because Cannon's started training again.
I mean, mate, we've had Connor Cody on the bench for the majority of our games, and like, and yesterday, obviously, Cody played and Fass is on the bench, like a Belgian international, and it's just like, I don't know, mate. It's for me now. I said it in my show on Thursday, mate. Like, I'm not even thinking about promotion. Like, winning the league isn't actually in my mind because I just think it's going to happen. I'm like now thinking, come on, let's break the points record. So, monkey.
Cheers, whoever that is. Monkey on his back. That was what it was. Monkey on his back.
Yeah.
But Jono, I was expecting Vestergaard to be dropped and Cody to come in. I didn't expect it to be Faze to be dropped for Cody. Were you quite surprised with the team selection yesterday?
Not really. You can't be surprised with this the team selections because Maras is going to swap. You know, he knows how important it is to rotate your team and have the same. It's a nice. I like this shirt.
It reminds me of the Arsenal kit a few years ago when it was
yellow, Bruce Banana.
Oh, weird.
The Bruce Banana one.
Yeah, near enough, yeah.
But I've lost the train of thought then.
Vestergaard instead of Cody. That's
You can't be surprised with the rotation because he knows how important it is to keep players fit and, you know, not overusing them. This is why Ipswich, I think, will burn out because they haven't got the depth that we have. They've got the same team in and out. I expect to see Cody coming more later on in the season.
Lox, you're a bit of a mathematician. Work that one out.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be mathematically promoted by the end of Jan, just because I think Leeds and Ipswich will win a lot of games. So obviously we won't be automatically promoted. So I think, you know, technically Leeds or Ipswich could still catch us mathematically. I think it'll be more like end of February, start of March. But I don't think either of them are catching us. I think Leeds are too inconsistent. I think they've got, a howler in them still. Ipswich, you know, we keep... Well, yeah, I keep saying, obviously, that Ipswich are going to fall away, which doesn't look like it's happening, but I still think it will happen at some point. So, yeah, and can I just say as well what Jono mentioned about rotation? I think that's the most important part. Maresca, obviously, has been mentored by Pep Guardiola, and, you know, that's Pep Guardiola's go-to thing. It's his bread and butter, you know, rotation. And not only does it keep, obviously, players fresh, but it also means that, you know, you look at McAteer, for example. He was a shoe-in, right, for a starter for us at the start of the season. He got injured. I know it's obviously a bit different because he was injured. He hasn't been dropped, but he was injured. Fatu, who's come in, he's been really good. And now there's competition, mate. You know, Fatu, who's going to have to keep performing, because if he doesn't, McAteer's straight back in. Yeah. And that's the main thing about rotation when it's not, you know, unforced rotation, is that players come in, they play an absolute worldie of a game, and then suddenly the person who's played 10 games, he can't go back in the team. And then they've got to work hard, you know, on their, when they come off the bench. So it's just, everything's coming together, Jamie. Perfectly.
It is. It's like, it's more about Vestergaard. Vestergaard doesn't deserve to be dropped.
He's vital. He's important.
He's probably a better forward. Player. Vestergaard's playing well, and he doesn't deserve to be dropped at all.
No. Mm-hmm. You drop Faze and Cody.
And I think that showed yesterday, having two changes in that back line made a bit of a difference.
The only player I feel that we will heavily miss if they get injured is Winks.
Yeah.
That's the only player I feel that if we lose out on, we'll struggle.
Yeah, and even when you look at Leeds, mate, when they've rotated before, whether it was unforced or forced, they've had some poor games when they've played like a second string side. They've lost, you know, a couple of games which they really shouldn't have, because they've had to. Yeah, this is the thing. It's all well and good as, you know, praising Maresca, obviously saying, you know, Maresca, like, the rotation of his players is becoming, you know, is really good. However, let's be honest. He has that luxury, unlike pretty much every single team in the Championship. We're probably the only team in the Championship that could swap someone out. Obviously, we can't say for Winks for sure yet, because we haven't seen it, but pretty much there's the only team in the Championship that could switch out every single player and really not be that heavily affected. You know what I mean? If you take out Vestergaard one game, we've got Cody. If you take out Vardy one game, you've got Ian Acho, McAteer, Fatuwu. Yeah. We have a very, very, very strong, healthy squad. And I said at the start of the season, and this also got a load of backlash, mate, I said, I think our second string team would finish in the playoffs. Our complete B team would finish in the playoffs.
Yeah. We played well against Liverpool with, I think it was 10 changes, didn't we? We gave a good account of ourselves against Liverpool. But that was in the League Cup, and they didn't have the strongest team out. But we still gave it a good go. And I think it gives... No, I don't want to say second string or B team. It sounds too much like they're not good enough. So I'm not sure what words to use. Squad players. It gives the other squad players confidence that they can just come in, get a game, and there's a chance. If Chowdhury had actually had a world yesterday, who knows? Ricky P might have not been able to get in the team for a few weeks. It gives them that chance to compete and to get confidence, which is what hasn't been happening over the last few years. Anyway, Jono, before we let you go, I know it's a week away. Scoreline for next week.
I said after the last international break, you know, I got slated for saying we'll get 12 points. We've got 12 points. So I'm going to go with a draw. Hopefully we win, but I think Leeds will be a different kettle of fish to what we've faced. This is the hardest game of the season we'll have against Leeds, and they've come off a brilliant run of form. We're in what we call a slump. We have not been playing well the last two games. So this
we
is
have
a tough
played
one.
Three games in 7 days, though, so that might be a cause of it.
It might be, but so have Leeds.
Yeah, no, but Yeah, but so, I don't know about their team, whether they played. We've got a week off now.
My heart says a bit. My heart says win, my head says draw. 2-1 win, 2-2 draw.
Ooh. Okay then, Jono. Cheers for that, pal. We shall see you next week, mate. Be good.
See you later.
Don't put a different shirt on next week.
No, it's I like the shirt. This is a good
shirt. Give me a different headache, that shirt is, pal. See you later, matey. Be good. Locks, or should I say Mystic Locks? Because you did well last week. You got the 3-1 spot on, didn't you? Against Swansea, you said 3-1.
Yeah, when we were 1-0 down, I said 3-1. I also said Mavididi was scoring at Sunderland. I wasn't right, but I was close because obviously he scored yesterday.
You were 4 days off, so it wasn't too bad.
Not
Crystal
at all.
Crystal ball wasn't quite right, was it?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leeds game, this might surprise a few people. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go 2-2. Our first draw of the season. I think Jono said maybe 2-2 as well. So, yeah, I'm going 2-2. I still don't think it's going to be the hardest game. In the actual game, I think Ipswich will be more difficult. But I just think Leeds, just like us, they have, they have those gems in their team. They have those bits of talent which are cut above the Championship. So, like, for example, your Wilfred Nonto or your Joel Pirro, who we wanted Leicester to sign, or a few of us wanted Leicester to sign in the summer. I just think they'll have a bit of quality, just like us, and I think it will cancel each other out, and I'm going to say 2-2. But I'm happy with that, mate, because, again, that's, we've won 12 out of 13 games. Is it 12 out of 13? 13 out of 14 games. And we haven't had a draw yet, so,
No, which is unusual. I'd like a few draws, but I would like to keep winning as well, though. So, but I wouldn't mind taking a draw. But I'd rather have the draws away from home. But I want to keep the record going away from home of keep winning and keep winning.
Yes, yeah, I mean, I've said 2-2. I think it'll be a really good game. I think it'll be exciting. I think there'll be lots of shots and lots of chances. But I just think 2-2 is what's going to happen. So we'll see. Hopefully, I'm wrong. But I've not been wrong too many times this season. So
old Mystic Locks is wrong. He's rubbed his balls the wrong way this week.
And that'll mean 1 point closer to the points record. So
it will be. All points muchly appreciated from anybody.
Yes, absolutely.
Locks, we shall see you later, pal. Be good. Have fun. And we'll see
Cheers,
you
mate. Week, mate. Have a nice day. Cheers. See you in a bit.
See you later. There we go. Another Foxes Aftermath show. For you fans out there, run by us fans. What more can we say? 7 wins on the bounce. Best ever start to an away season. 13 out of 14. 39 points. What more? What more do we want? What more can we do? How can we push these players? We can push these players by getting 3 points against Leeds, making it 17 points difference from us to third place. Ciao, ciao. Adios. Goodbye. Arrivederci. Come on, you Foxes!
Thanks for watching Leicester Fan TV. Thanks to our sponsors, ADT Taxis, Everard's, Pucka Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Leicester Riders, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Peter's Pizzeria, Hope Against Cancer, and Newbie and Co-Estate Agents. Make sure to follow us on all of our social channels at Leicester Fan TV. Visit our website, leicesterfantv.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.